Great. Hi, everyone. Happy last day of Build. Thanks so much for joining us. Today we're going to be talking about developing custom connectors for Microsoft Flow. So I'm Tessa Palmer.
And I'm Sunay Vaishnav.
And we have a ton of great content for you, including a bunch of really interesting demos. So just before we get started, how many people have ever heard of a custom connector before in Flow, perhaps? Okay, great. Good audience. How many people have built a custom connector before? Okay, less. So we're going to do a few things. We're going to kind of give you an overview. I mean, we're going to start at the beginning. We're going to explain the products. Hopefully, most of you are already familiar, but we'll do a quick run-through. We're going to show you how to build a connector and how easy it is. So actually, we'll build a connector in just a few minutes and then be able to use it within Flow and Power Apps as well. Then we're going to go into the connector architecture, so something, again, that you've probably used lots of connectors, but kind of showing you how it actually works under the covers. And then we're going to get into some more of the advanced connector concepts. And then we will have time for questions at the end, so if you can please hold until the end unless something is absolutely urgent. Okay, so starting off, we have the business application platform that, of course, Power Apps and Microsoft Flow are part of. It also includes Power BI, and we'll talk about that a little bit in a second. So what is Power Apps? Again, many of you are familiar, it sounds like, if you've already used our connectors, but sometimes people use one product a little bit more than the other. Power Apps is about building low or no-code business applications that can easily connect to any of the over 200 data sources that we support in our platform today. And those applications can then be used on mobile devices or on the web. Flow is about automating workflows. So again, you kind of connect to data. When something happens, you can do a series of conditions and transformations and then do subsequent steps, all automated and again without any code using our Visual Designer. And then we also have a web and mobile experience for flows. And so even though Power BI isn't in the title today, Power BI is part of our business application platform. It's focused on self-service business analytics. And even though, again, we're not showing how to build connectors specifically for Power BI, we do also have connector platform across the suite as well. So if you're interested in connectors and Power BI, we're still the right people. And actually, there was a session on Monday that talked a little bit more about that as well. So just keep that in mind if you're interested, but we'll spend most of our time on Flow and Power Apps today. So what is a connector? Again, many of you have probably used a connector, and then the folks who have built it are probably more familiar. But the way we talk about a connector is a wrapper or a proxy that interacts between the products, so between Flow and Power Apps, and the backend service or data source. And so it allows that communication between the two, kind of translating between Flow all the way to the backend, and then vice versa. And Sunay has a great picture of this a little bit later that we'll see. So our connectors can access data from both cloud sources and on-premise data sources. So this is really important because we know, you know, while there's a wide variety of data in the cloud and services that you probably use today, there's a lot of especially enterprise data sources that are still on-premise. And so you can connect to them through these products by using the on-premise data gateway. And that's actually supported for our custom connectors as well, which we'll get into in a second. And because of the way that we interact with these connectors, each user, you know, will be signed, a user acts in their own context unless a connection is shared. But because of that, the underlying permissions of the source are also respected. So you're not kind of working around anything by having these connectors. As I mentioned, we have over 200 connectors today. And these connectors are for a wide range of sources and verticals and all of these different things. You can just see from, you know, the number of colors on the screen how many different sources that we connect to. Now, of course, we don't connect to them all. And so, you know, if you have a service or, you know, something that you want to see in Flow, this is really where our custom connectors come in. So to kind of define it a little bit, the public connectors, and sometimes we just call them connectors, are the ones that are available to all users. So those are the ones that are out of box. You know, you go to flow.microsoft.com without signing in or anything, and you'll see a whole list of connectors. Those are what we just call connectors or public connectors if we have to qualify them. Now, the custom connectors are the ones that, again, are built by someone within your organization or yourself within your organization. And they can be, you know, exposed just to you, to a group of people, or actually to your whole tenant as well. So we have some that, for example, are exposed to, you know, all users of Microsoft because they're internal services. So before I show you how to build a connector, maybe giving you a little bit context about why you might want to build a connector or why you might have to build a connector. So we kind of split this into two sections. One of them is enterprise developers. And the reason enterprise developers typically come and build connectors is because either A, in that large list of sources that we support, it doesn't have that one critical source that you need to get your work done. And so that's kind of the first case where people come to it. Or even if the source is there, it might not have all of the features that you need. The second reason is if you're looking for connectivity to a custom or an internal service. So something that's never going to be a public connector because it's something that you've built or your organization uses internally. And again, Sinead is actually going to show a great demo of that as well. The other case is for partners or ISVs. So again, those are, you know, developers that have their own service and they want to expose capabilities. And the main reason they want to do that is, you know, to provide extensibility and those endpoints to their customers. And so we have a full partner program where we work with partners who own their APIs, and we get their connectors certified and released as public connectors. So all of the development starts as a custom connector, but the ultimate goal for partners is to have a public connector. So typical lifecycle flow of building a custom connector, you know, you start with developing, and I'm going to show how easy it is to really build that connector definition. You can import from some existing artifacts you might have. So if you already use OpenAPI or Swagger definitions, or even Postman collections, for example, you can start from there instead of from scratch. Then, of course, you make sure the connector works. So we have some basic test capabilities in our portal. But then, of course, you have the products that really will show you that end-to-end testing. So you can test within Power Apps and test within Flow. And then you can share it. So again, with custom connectors, you can share to a group of people or within your organization. And the last step, so if you're looking at building a public connector, you do all of the same first things, you know, you build, test, share, and then you get to that last bit where you certify. And at that point, you actually submit it to Microsoft, and we validate it for a few things, both on the functional side, again, to make sure it works, but also to kind of some experience bars as well. And then once that's signed off, we'll actually release the connector on your behalf to all of our users. So with that, I am going to hop right into building a connector. Okay, so here I am within Flow. Hopefully, again, this is familiar to most folks. Now, the same, if you go into the gear, you'll see the option for custom connectors. The same option is from Power Apps and also from Azure Logic Apps, if you're familiar. So you might have come into this experience in a few different ways. So you can see here, I don't have any custom connectors. And if I go to create one, it's going to prompt me to provide artifacts I might already have. So if I have an OpenAPI file, either hosted or locally, I can use that, or Postman collection, or I can start from blank. I'm actually going to use a Postman collection because that's one of the fastest ways, I think, really to go 0 to 60 with the connectors. So today we're going to build a quick connector against the GitHub API. One of the reasons I like showing this is because you all have access to the GitHub API. You probably have already registered it, and it's actually very, very well documented. And so we're going to create a connector that lets you submit a bug. So I'm going to go over here, create an issue. It gives you the path of how you post on their API to create a bug. So coming back over to Postman, I set the verb correctly, start choosing my URL. You can see I've done this before. The nice thing also about GitHub is that it's already parameterized the path for me. And that's important because, again, when this is a connector in Flow, some of these fields you're going to want your user to provide, right? You don't want them to be hard-coded. And this is one of the ways that you would do this, through parameters. Okay, so I'm going to provide my values. The next step is authentication. So again, GitHub is very well documented on their OAuth, very easy to sign up. And Postman actually lets me hook this up through Postman as well. And then the last bit, when you're creating a bug, of course, you need to provide information about the bug. So switching back over to the documentation, there's an example here. All I have to do is copy and paste this. And we're just going to simplify a bit for our case today and then hit save. And just like that, you can see the response went out and it came back and it created a bug within my repository. So at this point, my Postman collection, the operation looks pretty good. All I'm going to do is save it. And I'm going to give it a nice name and you'll see why in just a second. Create a new issue. And we're going to create what's called a Postman collection. So again, this is a concept within Postman, but we leverage it to really make it easier to build a connector out of box. GitHub build demo 2018. Create that, save it, and now I'm going to export the collection. So I'm going to export it into a folder that I remember, and now I'm going to switch back over to Flow. So up at this point, I just know that Flow is ready for my Postman collection, spent a little bit of time building it, but it's still pretty quick to come back into this experience and really start building my connector now. So I'm going to give it a title. Let's see, build 2018. Find that collection. It's on my desktop. And hit continue. And now this is really zoomed in. But you can see it's imported, so it, you know, it used the name of the collection as my description. It imported the host and a few other things. I'm going to head over to authentication because that was one of the things that wasn't imported, and I'm going to set it here now. So we support a few different types of authentication. OAuth2 is one of them, and actually if you choose OAuth2, you can see a variety of providers that are supported, including GitHub. And this is where, depending on the source you're connecting to, your authentication might be a little bit special. So I'm going to copy over the client ID and the client secret. And I know my scope. And again, you know, GitHub has told me all of the things that I need to provide here. Then I'm going to head over to the definition. And see, again, this is where the information that I provided and saved into the Postman collection, so by giving it a little extra time and actually giving it a nice name, it actually helped me now when I'm building my connector. And I can see that it has pre-populated as well what the request looks like, including the parameters, the owner, the repository, and the body that I provided. I'll add a response. One of the things, again, if you've leveraged Flow or Power Apps, you know that you can use the data that comes back, especially if it's well-structured and predefined, into subsequent steps as well. So defining the response is also quite important. And I'll just copy that straight out from Postman and hit import. And now you can see it's, you know, parsed out that whole JSON response and put these as individual fields, which I could use in my subsequent workflow. So at that point, I'm going to create a connector. And really, this is all I needed to do. I imported it. I defined security. I cleaned it up a little bit on the definition side, but I even, you know, could have hit create a bit earlier. And now I have a connector within my environment that I can share. And I'll actually go back a few steps, and I'm just going to upload an icon because, you know, what's a demo without a good icon as well? And again, this is totally optional, but provides, you know, a nice experience, and then it'll stand out a bit when we actually use it within Flow and Power Apps. Great, so I'll update that, and once it confirms. I will also show quickly, we have a test tab, as I mentioned, so this is, imagine you're building a connector, and again, you want, you know, you have many different operations, and you want a quick way to just make sure they're working, this test tab can be really helpful. But I'm actually going to go straight into the product and show you where it shows up there. So flipping over to a new tab, I'm in My Flows, and I'm going to choose Create from Blank. And I'm going to choose a trigger just to show how it could be set up within a flow. Now again, it could be any trigger. At this point, my connector is actually showing up alongside our other public connectors, and if I search for it really quickly, you can see it's not yet showing up next to our public connectors, and that's typically because it takes a little bit time for the connector that you wanted to create to register fully. So if I had tested it, for example, in the test pane, I might have seen that it said, hold on for a second, we're still preparing it. I can also choose to create a connection from this experience, very similar to any of my connectors, where you can go within Flow directly, or you can go outside through our connection creation experience. But I'm going to flip back in here and actually go back to My Flows and do this one more time. And again, even though I'm creating this in Flow, you'll see in a second that this very same connector and even these same connections that I'm creating will actually show up in Power Apps as well. So there it is, my bright pink connector and the action that I built, create issue. It's going to prompt me to sign in. This is using the authorization flow that I defined in the connector. I'm going to hit authorize. And now it's giving me that option to go actually create an issue. So I'll switch over to my GitHub repo quickly. You can see I have one open issue. This is the one we created actually in Postman. I'm going to go create another one and give it a description. So at this point, it's also worth calling out that you can see here the parameter names are still pretty raw because all I did was import it. And this is where the difference between you building something to test it out and then actually you building something to share, this is where it would kind of split out. So I've saved it. I'm going to test. And it's going to let me manually trigger it because I used the button. If I had used some other trigger, like an email, I could go send a mail as well to trigger this. And now I'm going to see that the flow ran successfully, and what I provided will now show up in GitHub. So pretty cool. Not only did I create it so fast, I just proved that it was working, which was important. I'll also show how it can work in Power Apps really quickly. And again, the way it works in Power Apps is the same as it works, same as any other connectors work. Very similar to what you saw in Flow, it shows up alongside all of our existing connectors, and that same thing will happen in Power Apps. So again, in the Maker portal, if I open up my gear, I have my list of custom connectors, should be the same one. I can actually go and edit anything here, and it'll work vice versa in Flow. So just remember what you're building actually ends up having more benefits kind of across our full platform. You only had to build one, but you have your connector can show up everywhere and work everywhere. So as my Power App is loading, I have a little Power App that's already set up just so I have some of the fields, and I'm going to show you how to use that same operation we just used in Flow within a Power App. And again, kind of getting double the value for this one connector that I built and imported. So really basic app, and I'm going to close that one. Don't allow. Let's see if we'll just tie it to a new data source. So zooming in a little bit, I just have a button and two text input fields. And what I'm going to do is go and add a data source. So let me remove this old one and add in a new one. And let's guess it's the top one. And we'll find out pretty shortly if this works. So when you're using things like posts in Power Apps, you do need to tie it to an action. A button's one example of this. And again, this is something that is the same for all connectors. It just happens that the way we're using it, you know, it's this happens to be a custom connector now, but it could be any connector that you're using as well. So I provide the parameters, and now I can do things, again, in Power Apps, like tie parameters to user inputs. So instead of this being hard-coded, I'm going to put it as the output, the text field from my first input. And then same thing with the body. It's going to be text input 1_1 dot text. And if you are looking to build a connector, but you're not very familiar with Power Apps, any of the tutorials for the standard connectors, you can start leveraging for your connectors as well. So now with IntelliSense and autocomplete, my function looks good. And at this point, I can say, you know, new bug from Power Apps. Awesome, description again, and hit submit. Now I'll fingers crossed a little bit because there was something with the weird connections beforehand. But in theory, this looks like it's submitted. I'll refresh again. And we don't have a bug. But in theory, that's where the bug would show up once we hit submit, invoking that very same function. And yes, you can see that it did end up hitting an issue. But you can see the issue that's coming up right there actually comes directly back from GitHub. So even though it didn't successfully create a bug, you can see that it is going through my same connector and is returning error messages directly back from the service. So with that, I will switch back over. And just as a recap, you know, within a few minutes, we were able to create a Postman collection and upload it and create a connector. And then we could use that same connector both in Flow and Power Apps to solve accomplish a purpose really quickly. Quick notes on improving your connector. Like you saw, I had kind of sad parameter names and no descriptions. So once you are building this for yourself or for partners, do take your time to add descriptions and friendly names. And you can define, of course, way more operations. So typically for every post, you want to have a few gets, you know, get one item, get a list of items. And then if you're building a connector specifically with more scenarios for Flow in mind, you can use things like what we call as dynamic values and dynamic schema, where it really makes the user experience a lot richer. You might see things like drop downs and that type of thing. And then, of course, for something like workflow automation, triggers are really important, so you can use webhooks. When you add these parameters, these things will still work in Power Apps. You just won't have the capability. So for example, I'd still say my create bug operation, but I wouldn't see a trigger about when there's a new bug. So depending on which client you're in, you'll see the capabilities that you expect. And now we'll jump into the advanced stuff.
Awesome. So that was a cool demo, right? Like within 5 minutes, we had a connector running, and it was usable in Flow and Power Apps. Now, how does this actually work? Underneath the covers, what is happening? So I'm going to tell you a little bit about that in detail. So you have on one side Power Apps, Flow, and the business application platform. On the other side, you have your RESTful APIs. These RESTful APIs, by the way, can be on-premises or cloud. You may have noticed that in the custom connector UI, you have a checkbox that says connect via on-premises data gateway. So I just wanted to call out that custom connectors now supports on-premises data gateway as well. But your APIs still have to be RESTful even if they are on-premises. So you have these two things on either sides, and then custom connectors are the bridges that sit in the middle. Where do these connectors sit, right? Like as we said, it is a proxy type wrapper. That sits actually in a hosting environment that is owned by Microsoft. All connectors, custom or not, sit in a hosting environment. So you get the same sort of experience if either you're using a public connector or a custom connector. But the way the interaction between the flows or Power Apps through the connector and up to the REST API happens is a little interesting to learn about. And let me tell you a little bit more about that. So in order for Power Apps or Flow to make a call or execute an operation, you need to have three basic building blocks, right? You need to know the connector ID, right? So the connector name. You need to know the operation that you want to run. So for example, in Tessa's case, it was the GitHub connector, and she was using the create bug operation. And finally, you need a connection ID. So the connection ID is actually a reference to the credentials that are going to be used to perform that operation. But this is what Flow and Power Apps see. When you create a custom connector, what really happens is we take your open API description of your RESTful API and then transform it such that it describes this wrapper that we have created as well. So again, Flow and Power Apps never really call or talk directly to your RESTful services. So once these building blocks have been provided, the API call goes through, the hosting environment and the custom connector specifically transforms that information into host, path, and credentials. So those lines are actually directly related. Connector ID tells me what the host is. Operation tells me what path to use. And then connection ID tells me what credentials to use. Now, you may have a connector that is just anonymously authenticated, so you don't need to supply any authentication credentials, but you still need to have a connection. Because we identify which user is making what calls through Flow and Power Apps using that connection as well. So connection has like some overloaded concepts. But this is the fundamentals of how connectors work. Then when with the responses, again, the same pattern follows, where the RESTful API will respond back to the custom connector, and the custom connector will then respond back to Flow or Power Apps. And you may think why we are doing this one level of abstraction. So this is so that we can have flexibility in terms of not requiring all of our users to have one standard way of describing their APIs. And the other piece is that this allows us to have a more secure environment. Your credentials are never going to leak off the client. So that's how the connector architecture works at a high level. Now, in the previous demo, we saw that we were connecting to an existing RESTful service. If I am an organizational developer, I may not want to connect to an existing service. I may want to connect to data that is already in my organization. But what if that data is not exposed to RESTful APIs? Or another example could be I want to offload logic. So for example, I have a Power App that needs to upload images to a blog, a blob. And I want to expose that functionality to everyone within my organization. So you may want to build custom connectors for these kind of scenarios, right? You set up a web service itself that does this thin logic. So you can call it a microservice as well. You can set it up using Azure Functions, Azure Websites, or any third-party providers as well. We don't judge.
So this is really important, right? Because we're talking about existing REST APIs or maybe your existing internal ones, and so you're kind of thinking about what do I already have in my ecosystem. But actually, through some of the other platforms or the services that we mentioned, something like Functions or the web API he's going to show today, you can actually build and kind of build a service that can still interact with Flow and do some significantly more powerful things than what we can actually do in the product natively.
Correct. So again, and I don't know if you've gone to other sessions for Power Apps and Flow, but the message still is that this unlocks all the customizations and capabilities that you want to build within your Power Apps or within your workflow automation, right? I think there is a common saying there's an app for that. Not really when you start talking about business applications, right? There isn't a business application for everything that you want. So with that, I'm going to jump into showing you how to build your own web API. And for this specific first demo, I'm going to show you on the left we have, again, Microsoft Flow Power Apps. I'm going to create that web API using Azure Websites. Then I'm going to create a custom connector for it. And then we are going to use it in the product. So with that, let's jump over to the demo. So going back here, typing in my password. All right. So I already have this web API set up. It's super easy to create. All I have done is taken the boilerplate web API that you can create through the ASP.NET templates, right? So I go on File, New Project, create a web API, and that's it. This is what you get out of the box. And then I've changed the values from value 1 to value 2. If you do this after this demo, it'll come with value 1 and value 2. I've changed it to SunnyV and TessaP, because that's us. So what does this API do? It doesn't really do anything like fancy. It has a get slash API slash values, which returns these two strings in an array. And then there is another one that returns the value phi if you get a value, like individual value. For the post and the puts and the deletes, they're unimplemented, right? So nothing really fancy. And then if I go to this page, you can already see that it's been deployed to build demo 2018. st.azurewebsites.net, right? So it's live, it's working, it's deployed. And then if I go over to Fiddler, see again, no judgment in what products we use. She likes Postman, I like Fiddler. So if I go to my composer and then execute a request, and I'm gonna expand this out, you can see that I'm making a GET request on builddemo2018sc.azurewebsites.net API values, right? And when I execute this, it comes back with 200 with the values right here. I can use this to create a connector, right? So we can, again, go through that process since we are good on time. So I'm going to go here. Actually, why don't I jump out of here? I'm going to create a new one from blank. So build real demo.
So this one's great because, you know, I started from, again, that console, a definition that had already built it up for me. He's actually going to go completely from scratch and show you how you can copy it in and how easy that is as well. You're memorizing hex codes. That's great.
No, it's just 001122. But yeah, here's the connect via on-premises data gateway that I earlier talked about. So you can actually create a connector that works, you know, through your on-premises APIs. So in the host section, I have some things copied over here, but it's basically we are including or providing what host you want to connect to. And the base URL for us is slash. Since we have no authentication on the connector right now, we are going to just keep using NoAuth. And then I'm going to start adding a new action. It's called get values.
And you can see both on the left-hand side and the right-hand side, there's a bit of validation. Because again, he's writing it completely from scratch. So there was just a little warning that told him, you know, for example, your operation can't have a space. So the UI will guide you through as you're building from scratch as well.
So for instance, if I start with a lowercase, it'll give me an informational saying, you know, you should probably use with an uppercase.
And that's not functional requirements necessarily. It's really, again, more for your user experience once you start sharing these things.
Right. Now I'm going to import the request. So this is very straightforward. I'm going to go to Fiddler, match that. It's a get operation. Okay, that makes sense. Come here. I'm going to copy the path, slash API, slash values. And again, you can copy this from Fiddler as well. It's just harder to get it from here. So I'm going to go back to that. And you can also paste in the full URL if that's what you have. The UI is smart enough to parse out the base URL plus host and only keep the path segment, which is what is important for importing this UI. So as you can see, I just pasted in the path, and it automatically made it full, right? HTTPS, build demo, as in the host name, API slash values. After this, I'm going to define the response. Now, the response is pretty easy to define. So there are no headers that I'm particularly interested in, but this is what I'm interested in.
And same thing as he, you know, copy-paste the request, you can copy-paste the response. I had done it from that way as well, whichever one ends up being easier.
Yeah. And I don't think I want in the UI, you know, the token to be called key item output. So I'm going to change that to value. And value. And this is what Tessa was alluding to earlier at the end of her demo. You can use all of these decoration helper UI that allows you to improve your user experience, right? You don't want your users to see the raw HTTP request parameters. You want them to see what they mean contextually in Flow and Power Apps. So you can always use this UI to do that. And yeah, so that's pretty much it. I think I'm going to hit create connector. And then wait for it to create.
And as Sinead alluded to, we use OpenAPI or Swagger definition under the covers as well, which is one of the reasons if you import OpenAPI, it's one of the smoothest paths. Mm-hmm. And so if you use that for something like your documentation that already has really well, you know, described names and descriptions and everything is very thorough, you'll actually see out of box your connector takes advantage of all of those as well.
Yeah, and there's a great tool, I think, called Swashbuckle. If you're writing C# APIs, it knows how to generate open API documents from it. If you have your code annotated properly, it will also generate the correct descriptions and so on and so forth. So you don't even have to go through this entire process. You just come to the UI, you say import from open API documentation, and then you will get to this spot immediately. Except authentication, everything can sort of be automated. So now I'm going to create a new connection. And like I said, even if you don't have authentication, you still need to create a connection. So let's test this operation real quick. Oh, and look at that, right? That is the actual API response coming from my service. So that's step number one of how you can create your web API, deploy it to Azure, and then hook it up in Flow or Power Apps by using a custom connector. Now, the next topic is a pretty interesting topic, and we get a lot of questions around it, which is security. How do I secure my API? How do I secure my custom connector? Because if you are exposing organizational data and data that is sensitive, then you want to have the right security in place. So with that, I'm going to show you what we are going to do for securing this specific web API. And then I'll talk a little bit more about why we are approaching security that way. So securing your web API has essentially two concepts, right? One, you want to use OAuth for sensitive data. You can also use things like API key-based auth or basic auth, but that's not really industry standard anymore. So for this specific functionality, and this is the most secure recommended approach that we provide or suggest, is that you first secure your web application or your web API with an AAD identity. Then you create another AAD application to secure and provide an identity to your custom connector. So what this means is you have two disjoint entities or identities that depend on each other. The custom connector can be a subset, say for example, of the functionality that is exposed by your web API. And you don't want to join those concepts. You don't want your custom connector and your API to have the same identity. Say for example, you have a leaked key or you have a bug in the system where someone can escalate permissions. You don't want someone who also has custom connector access to be able to do that, right? So keep your security definitions separate. Keep your identities separate. And now I'll go back to showing you how you can protect your web API first. Then we will go and protect and create an AD application and identity for our custom connector, and we will configure all of that. It's a pretty complicated process with a lot of steps, so keep up with me and please pay attention.
See, one of the reasons we're showing this is really, as Sine was mentioning, having access to a custom web API is something that you've built or maybe something built internally that does exactly what you need for your scenario is super powerful. It really just unleashes the capabilities in the products. Now with, the extra power comes extra responsibility, and that's where this, the securing aspect comes in. And we have a lot of folks, and even internally, we use this method quite a bit. And so want to give you a few quick steps of how to actually secure it using AAD. And maybe you've seen some of the other sessions around. I'm sure they explain this as well.
Yep. So step one is we will go to our web application and enable AAD authentication. And there's no reason for you to just use AAD authentication, but in this kind of infrastructure and architecture, AAD is the one that we recommend again, because it's more secure. You can use things like Google Auth and Facebook Auth and so on and so forth, but it does not provide you the ability to have disjoint identities for both services, the custom connector and the web API. So I'm going to quickly browse down to authentication and authorization, and I'm going to turn on app service authentication. And again, this is the Azure website that is running my web service, right? So I'm turning on AD authentication on it. And then you want to, you know, be sure and check and say log in with Azure Active Directory. It is possible to enable Azure Active Directory authentication on your website, but not on your APIs, right? So ensure that you do this. Then you go configure, and I kind of have this configured already, but all you need to do is actually, you know, select an AD application in this scenario. I could potentially choose a new one if it lets me, but it doesn't look like it's.
And once this is set up, now your API is protected and secured. So we're talking about how to connect to it through the connector, but you can also, any other client or tool that might want to connect to your API can take advantage of this as well.
Yeah, so I'm gonna hit okay and save. And you will see that now I will not be able to make API calls to my web API because it'll say 401 unauthenticated. Let's look at that. So it's important to, you know, demo some failure cases too, to please the demo gods. So there you go. Like, request has failed. It says unknown errors. The request has probably also failed because we are not providing any authentication headers, really, because the connection does not have authentication. But if I go through Fiddler, it will give me like the exact error message. So I'm going to replay this request, execute, and there you go. It's a 401, right? The reason why we saw different error messages is in this scenario, we are directly hitting the API, versus in the other scenario, we are smart enough to know that you're trying to connect to something that's AAD, and you don't have any secrets in the connection, so we even abandon the pre-flight request. So that's a 401, right? So now, how do I enable AD authentication for my custom connector? So that's the next step. So what we are gonna do now is we are going to go to Azure again, create a new AAD application. So as part of this process, we have already created one AAD application, right? The one that protects the web API. And as you can see, I have a lot of them. So this is the second AD application that I've already created, but it does not have all the configuration yet. So we're going to go configure it. So the first thing you need to do is you need to grant. I'm going to remove it. So whenever you create an AD application, it starts with this. What we are going to do here is we are going to say, I want my AD application number 2, which is the custom connector AD application, to have delegated access to my AD application number 1, which is the AD application that identifies my web service, right? So that's what we are doing here. We are saying, hey, can you find build demo SD?
And again, we're getting a little into the weeds of how AAD auth and everything works, but really once this is configured, this opens it up not just for your connector, but for anything, you know, accessing your service.
Correct. So now I've selected the AAD application that was protecting the web service, and I'm saying allow for delegated permissions to access that website and the APIs under it. Once I'm done with this, the next step is to go update our connector, right? So we are going to go to the security section. You're gonna hit edit and say, I want to use OAuth 2. Then we're gonna say, I want to use Azure Active Directory. Great. Okay, what do we do with all these red bangs? Does anyone know?
Yeah.
You need to provide a client ID, a secret, and a resource URL, right? Those are the base three things that you need to provide for in this UI. I'm gonna explain what these are and, you know, how they translate to actually the architecture that we saw. We've already assigned AD identity to the web service as part of the Easy Auth experience in Azure, but we have only created the second AD application. We haven't assigned its identity to a resource, right? This is the UI that allows you to do that. By providing the client ID and the secret here, what you're doing essentially is you're saying, my custom connector has the identity of the AD app that I just created, right? So if I go back to Azure, and this is the second AD app, note that the number is 2, and I'm going to copy its application ID first. So that's that. I go back here and control. So that's the first thing. Then I probably need to create a secret. You can create secrets by clicking on key and then creating a key. Since we have time, I'm going to go create a new key.
And this is where, when I did the quick GitHub one, you know, which depending on which authentication you're using, these configuration steps, you know, may vary. And you can use AAD Auth for more than just, of course, your custom connector as well. If you wanted to connect to something like Microsoft Graph or actually any of the Microsoft APIs, this is a common set of steps that you might need to follow. And again, you don't necessarily need to be an OAuth expert. Understanding the gist of it definitely helps. But all you need to do is, as you said, is fill out the red bangs here, mm-hmm. and then we kind of take care of the set of requests underneath. And so, again, this one's a little bit more advanced because you have AAD on both sides that you own and control, and it can be complicated. But this kind of process, again, was very similar to what we did on the GitHub side. I just assumed a bunch of, you know, pre-work had already been done.
Yeah. So what the resource URL, what it does is it specifies the actual resource that this API is going to connect to, right? So we, again, established that custom connector is a proxy, the actual data. And the resource owner, right, is the web API. Like, if you think in terms of REST, right, the resource owner is still the web API. So you need to provide its identity, right? And its identity can be defined in two ways. You can either provide the URL for the AD application, or you can provide the client ID of the AD application. So for this case, we are going to provide the client ID, right? And the client ID is not of this application. It is of the build demo one application.
It's the resource, yeah, you're trying to access.
Correct. So because that AD application is being used to protect our web API. Okay, so those are the three things that we needed to provide. And once you have updated the custom connector, we are still not done, you have to do two more things. You have to copy this redirect URL. This redirect URL now has to be registered with the second AD application. Again, and this is important. Why? Because when you create a connection, you are signing in and providing your details, your credentials, for the second AAD application. As part of the AAD process, you need to, when you sign in, you need to provide a callback URL where the token can go. This token will come to us, right? So again, what you're doing is you're providing Microsoft and that hosting environment access to the token for your custom connector, not for your first AD application. We never looked at that. We never configured its client. We never looked at its secret or whatnot. So that is abstracted away and safe from the flow, Power Apps, and the business application platforms box of, you know, resources.
And one of the things you might notice is that that redirect URL that he copied, first of all, it was generated automatically. So that's something that we control because it's based off of the environments that you're in. The other thing you might notice is that it had a name in it. It said Canada, had a region in it. And that's directly correlated to which environment that you created. And that's, you know, common. One of the things you might notice from using Flow and Power Apps, the environment is kind of the place where each of your resources lives. Same goes for custom connectors. A custom connector lives in a specific environment, which happens to be in a specific region. You can kind of manually migrate it, but then you might need to kind of reconfigure some of these things, especially the redirect URL.
Correct. So as you can see, I have registered this redirect URL already. And it's the same redirect URL as my previous connector that I built before this demo. So I'm not going to go and change that. The final piece that you should remember to do is enable course on your website. So course is cross-origin resource sharing. I'm not going to go into details of what it means and why it's there, but essentially it's there to prevent man-in-the-middle attacks, right? If you're uploading a file to, let's say, Facebook, but if the storage account goes to, let's say, someplace else, let's say Amazon, right? Then the browsers block that, right? Because if you're on the Facebook domain, why is your image going to
somewhere else?
But you can whitelist certain domains in order to do that. So ensure that you go to your core settings and then provide the right origins. In my case, I've just said allow everything, but you can say, if you're really interested in whitelisting only specific environments, then we have documentation that tells you what cores domains that you need to enable for specific regions of Flow and Power Apps environments, right? So each Power App or Flow environment is bound to a region which is internally bound to a hosting environment which has domains and whatnot, so you can register those directly here. If you don't do that, you will see a course error, and you will be able to debug from there on.
And that's what, we started with a completely unauthenticated API. It was just an endpoint. You can make calls, get data back. That was great. Then we went one more layer where we authenticated and actually went, we made it pretty secure by using AD on both sides. And then you can go even further by actually restricting certain domains and that type of thing. So again, depending on if you're looking to kind of get started and poke around, you might start way on the first side where you leave it unauthenticated. But once you're making this a real endpoint that you're sharing, even just within your team, for example, you probably want to start getting further down some of these steps.
Right. So the last step is to actually update our connection. Remember, our connection had no authentication in it. There's no token. I have not signed in anywhere at all right now. So now when I click on this auth button, it pops up an OAuth dialog, right? And then it says, hey, pick an account. So I pick an account. And since I've already actually granted consent to that AD application, it didn't ask me for consent. But if I was doing this for the first time, it'd say, do you want to grant access to build demo ST-2? And then I would say yes or no, and then based on that, the OAuth process would complete, and the tokens would be then stored in the connection.
And another nice thing about using AAD to secure the connector and our end website is that you noticed because we log into Flow with AAD and log into Power Apps with AAD, it's already kind of pre-populated and your account's already in there. So when I did it with GitHub, it was very different. I had to actually log into my GitHub account in addition to my Flow account. And sometimes that's just the way, we use different services, you're gonna have those barriers. But again, if you're targeting an audience with Flow, you already know that they're leveraging AAD, kind of continuing that reuse ends up offering a really smooth user experience.
Yep. So testing this operation again, and you will see that the response does come back. And if I actually do go to Fiddler and replay that request, I will still see a 401 because no authentication headers have been supplied, hence it's not going to work.
Can you show the test tab actually? Show
sure.
The request of how?
Yeah. Yeah, I can. So if you are interested in the raw request, right? So I can maybe break this down for you.
This is where that proxy kind of shows itself to you through through the test tab and that type of thing. Because if you're just using a connector, sometimes you don't really notice that there's this intermittent issue. Sometimes you might see errors that you're confused. GitHub would never send that error. Where did that come from? That's maybe where you've seen the proxy up until now. Yep. But once you actually start creating a connector and making calls, especially through things like our test console, that's where you really start seeing that gap.
Yeah, so as you can see, the first segment of the URL,
try to make that bigger. Unless you guys have better eyes than I do.
Oh, we are. Yeah. We're gonna make that bigger. So the first segment of the URL, canada-001.azure-apim.net, is the hosting environment's address, /apim/build-real-demo.that-GUID is the connector ID, right? As we had discussed earlier, connector ID, connection, and operations, right? These are the three things that we need. The B75CED is the connection ID that is required, that is being used to actually make this request. And /API/values is actually the path of the request. One other thing that I would like to probably bring up as well is that so this bearer token is actually the bearer token with the audience flow, not audience your website, right? So, because AAD, and this is like a common OAuth concept, when you issue JWT tokens, you have to provide the audience that you're trying to access. This AAD token grants you permissions to use the connection that is provided in the URL. It does not grant you permissions to access the resource underneath the covers behind the custom connector, right? That never, ever comes down to the client.
And that's where, yeah, if you actually didn't have an authenticated endpoint, you would still see this authorization, because you actually needed to be you need to be Sine,
yep,
in order to be able to use the connection that we use. So that's kind of why we're bringing up, again, that proxy intimate, and then you as connector developers, custom connector developers, understanding that architecture will save you a lot of time if heaven forbid you hit an issue in building your connector.
Yeah, so I think to recap, very quickly, I think we can go back to the slides, because that's the end of my demo. But to recap, we created a web API, right? Very simple boilerplate web API that returns a string when you call it with a get verb. Then we added AAD authentication to both the custom connector and the web API. And then ultimately, we enabled some settings, right? So remember to enable course, remember to delegate permissions, remember to write or put in the right resource URL, right? The client ID of the web API is your resource URL. The client ID and secret identifies the custom connector. So that's your second AAD app. And that's how it works, essentially. And also, since we looked at the URL, if you don't want to enable star, you know, allow all domains for course, allow the ones that are in this URL. So canada-001.azure-apim.net is the domain that you want to allow, because that domain is making the calls to your service underneath the covers. So with that, I'm going to give it back to Tessa, and then we'll go from there.
Perfect. So a lot to absorb. I know we spent a long time in that last demo. The main purpose for that is really, as we said, this is where the power starts unleashing. Of course, connecting to existing services is really interesting, although, you know, now that we have 200-something connectors, we are hitting quite a few of them. And I'm sure, you know, someone in the audience has their favorite connector, which we haven't yet supported. But we have done quite a bit. So now really when we start talking about custom connectors, we're looking at that, you know, the pro dev, the enterprise dev scenario where you're using our custom connector feature to actually bring a lot more amazing capabilities into our products. And then of course, if you start going down those paths, you have some more advanced cases, especially around building your own API. The one Sine did, as he said, was pretty straightforward, but just the possibilities are endless with the type of thing you can do once you start offloading some of that work outside of the product. Yep. So did the demo. Perfect. So resources. And then we'll go to a bit of an overview. Now this one, most of these are hyperlinks, so you'll need the actual PowerPoint to remember it. But if you have to remember two URLs, or if you take pictures of two URLs, it's this first one and the second one. So the first one, docs.microsoft.com/connectors. I don't know how many times a day I say that one. That's one of my favorite websites because it has a few different things in it. One of them, which you all might have already been there and taken advantage of, is actually this is where all of our connector reference documentation. So say you're using that Look connector and you actually don't know how a certain operation works, or you're using the GitHub connector or any of the other 200 connectors, all of that reference documentation will also be on this site. But in addition to the connector references, you can also get all of our help documentation for custom connectors. And that's everything from what is a custom connector, hopefully you all know that by now, How you build a custom connector, so from a Postman collection, from scratch, and from an open API, we have tutorials for all three. We talk again about some of those more advanced features like webhooks, if you want to add triggers to your connector, as well as dynamic values and schemas. And there's even a tutorial on doing the web API AED authentication that Sine mentioned as well. It's not quite the same step-by-step as he just showed today, so the video here might be your best bet going forward. But if you were trying to remember what some of those specific fields he mentioned, this will be on the same site as well. So docs.microsoft.com/connectors. The second one for aka.ms/API connectors, that's for you partners and ISVs out there who want to build a connector and have it certified by Microsoft. So this will actually link, I believe, to a blog post that gives you a bit of a how-to, and it might even have been from last year's announcement, because this was really where we opened it up at Build last year. And it's been a great year of working very closely with many partners to kind of get their connectors out to all of the users of Flow and Power Apps and Logic Apps. So aka.ms/API connectors, and then also there's a link to directly submit it for certification. This will take you through a nomination process and all of the artifacts that you need to do, and that'll put you directly in touch with the certification team at Microsoft. And again, out of the 200 connectors, the ones that we've been releasing recently have all been partner built. And so we do have a healthy ecosystem, and we strongly suggest that if you have a service out there, or if you have a favorite service, go talk to them and get them to come back and talk to us and make sure that we get a connector for you to use within the platform as well. So a quick overview, and then after this, I think we just have two more slides, and then we're going to open it up to questions if you're all still processing that. But you know, we started off giving you an overview again of our platform. You know, many folks are familiar with one product or another, but the business application platform does actually work across Power BI, Flow, and Power Apps. And so, you know, some of these connectivity stories that we're telling are actually consistent across all of them. Showed you how to build a quick connector in just a few minutes, and then how easily you can use those within the products. Of course, you can spend the time, you know, really customizing and making it much better after that, but getting started and seeing that instant value can really be on the order of minutes. When partners come to us and say, okay, really, how much work is it to build a connector? And I, you know, really, you can get a production-ready connector in less than a week, even if a day, if you're, you know, really dedicated to it.
Yeah, and internally, like, we have a lot of internal Microsoft products that we have built connectors for and are using all the time. So, for example, for service and incident management, we have connectors that are not public because the service itself is internal, but all of that improves productivity a lot, right? Because you can build a Power App or a Flow for incident management very quickly.
Yeah, just think about any service that you're interacting with, how many times you have to flip out and in, or something that you just wish, you know, wouldn't it be nice if I just pushed a button or if it triggered automatically for me? And those are great candidates to bring into our platform. Give an overview of the connector architecture. That's something we usually gloss over because, you know, if it works, it works. It's great. But once you're starting to build a connector, it's really important to understand those layers and how all of them interact. And then you got to see a demo of the advanced concept specifically around if you want to also build your own API, and then even better, you want to secure it, how you have to tie those things in together with Flow and Power Apps. But the, hopefully the important takeaway is that it's possible. Any API or service or data source, cloud, on-prem, custom, internal, anything is accessible through Flow and Power Apps and Logic Apps through our custom connector capabilities. And then how to get started, just showing all of the different resources that we have. So it is the last day of Build, which means we're one of the last sessions. We're way down here at the bottom. But these are some of the other sessions of Power Apps and Microsoft Flow. Maybe you're very familiar with Power Apps and not as much about Flow, and so you're interested in kind of learning more. This slide, again, will be available, and of course, searching for any of them on the Build site. And there's a few that are still here for the rest of the day. So if you're interested, you can take a look at the next three as well. And with that, yeah, we're going to remind everyone, please submit your evaluations. This is how we, you know, we take the feedback and make sure that we learn and keep things exciting year after year.
Yeah, and I really recommend doing the evaluations, but because it tells us what you want to see from us in these sessions. And it's a great pointer for us to, you know, be customer obsessed as well.
Yep. So with that, we have about 10 minutes left, and we're going to open up to questions. If you do have a question, please just come use one of the mics in the middle of the room. Anyone have one?
So could you please come line up by the mic so that everyone can hear the questions?
Okay, first question, is there a practical limit or a hard limit in terms of the size of a Swagger file? If I have thousands of different resources, all with CRUD operations, put post, batch, delete, service operations, have we run into that with any custom connectors that we need to know about?
Yeah.
So in general, there aren't such hard limits, but at the same time, the user experience will degrade if you have too many actions and triggers in a connector. So what we usually recommend is that you break them apart. You can always have one connector going, or like 10 connectors going to the same APIs, right? So for example, the Office Graph has lots of endpoints, right? But we segment them by capability. So there is admin APIs, which is a separate connector. There's user APIs, which is a separate connector, and so on and so forth. So that's how we would recommend that you segment those out. If you can't, the product itself is not going to break. It's just that searching for these operations is going to be harder and harder for users consuming your actions and operations.
The other one that I've seen, as far as it's not a hard limit, but if you are familiar with Swagger and OpenAPI, the way that you can do dependencies and kind of related definitions, if you have many levels of dependencies, that's something I've found that we are a little slow on processing.
Right.
But again, it's not that's not intended. That's something that we can repair. So in theory, it's just more focusing on your user experience.
Yep. Go
ahead. I work for an ISV, and we want to build a flow connector to our app, but our app sits on-premise. So
great.
I don't have a nice cloud API.
Mm-hmm.
So my URLs are different for every customer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we were looking at doing an OpenAPI file and saying to customers, import this. Is there a way of programmatically creating connectors? So I can say to someone, click a button, and we'll create the connector for you?
There are some PowerShell commandlets that we are shipping very soon. Underneath the covers, if you can fiddler out the APIs, they're all public. They're not documented. So the fact that whatever happens through the UI can be done with API calls. If you want to do it like as soon as possible, I recommend going the Fiddler route. If you can wait for a little bit, then we are going to be shipping PowerShell commandlets. So you can just program those and then continue shipping. If you do have a user in your customer's tenant, then you can deploy it yourself and then share it with the entire organization or whichever users want to have access to that connector.
I had a second question, which was just with AAD,
mm-hmm.
Does it ultimately become the user who's running the flow that's running the connector that connects to my API? Or is it the user who set up the connector whose permissions I have receiving in my API?
It's neither of
them. Yes, neither.
No? So the person who creates the connector, all they're doing is they're describing the API surface, and they're providing the, in OAuth, there's a difference between username, password, and client ID secret, right? So you're creating the app identity. But whichever user, any user can create a connection against the connector. So if I create a connection with my username password, then I'm going to use, and if I use that connection in Flow, the Flow is going to operate as me. If you create a connection on the same connector with your username password, and you use that connection, your connection in a Flow, then it'll use your credentials.
Okay, cool.
But there's one more thing. You can share that connection. You can share your connection with me. And if I use that connection, then it's
your identity
being used by me in a flow.
So it was close to your first one where you're saying it's the user of the flow with the caveat that users can share connections.
Correct.
Okay. And so if I share my connection with you and you trigger the flow, it's actually going to use my connection. So it's still whoever created the connection, that's the identity that's used.
Correct. And sharing of connections is not recommended for OAuth. It's only recommended for things like API key based auth.
Things that make sense to share.
And when you create a connection, because we didn't talk about connection so much today, mm-hmm. What's the difference between a connection? A connection is an instance of a connector? Or?
Yeah,
connections
exactly. Yeah.
All the credentials that are required
for
to
that.
Make the call the operation.
It's a connector and credential pair, right?
Okay.
So if you think about when you're in Flow, first you choose the connector and then you hit sign in, the output that of that is a connection that's used in each operation.
Okay, cool, thanks.
Yep.
Okay, my question is related to the on-prem ISV challenge. So I assume that we should describe the API only once, but the same way you guys are allowing for connections to be per user, I was wondering if the service bus gateway, so the on-prem gateway could be also on a per customer. But right now, I from what I saw, it's my connector. When I'm designing the connector, I can use the on-prem connector to get to the on-prem gateway.
Yeah,
but can that be used by a customer of my ISV solution?
Yeah. So the way that would work is, again, everything is bound to a tenant and an environment. If you deploy a on-premise connector in a tenant or in an environment, and what will happen is that when you try to create a connection on it, it'll ask for an on-premises data gateway.
Okay, that's it.
So if the user has access to on-premises data gateway, they'll be able to create the connection and use it. If they don't have access to an on-premises data gateway, they won't be able to.
Okay. Yeah. The other thing is, until we don't have a connector published publicly, what do you recommend as a way of redeploying the test connector in another tenant?
Today we don't really have an official guidance around it, but we have something in the works. So I would say stay tuned.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank
exporting
you.
And importing is the closest thing, but it doesn't include everything.
Yeah. Yes.
So you need to work a little bit with your customers until we fill those gaps.
Yeah.
As long as we have a script way of doing it, that's okay.
Well, that's what, so the scripts, again, haven't been released yet, but in theory, these will start filling the gaps, yeah.
At the bare minimum, you can, after you create a connector, there's a button to download the OpenAPI file.
Yeah.
Once you download that, you can email it to your customers, they can upload it, create the connector, and.
Okay, great, thank you.
So my question is probably related to a lot of people just ask, is there any way we can run those Power Apps and also Connector and Power Flow on-prem, let's say Azure Stack, for example?
Not today.
Any timelines?
No, we cannot give timelines, unfortunately, because Power Apps and Flows are predominantly built to run in the cloud. At the same time, though, Logic Apps, which is the PaaS offering, you know, equivalent of Flow, they are planning to be in Azure Stack at some point, but I would recommend reaching out to that team to get timelines.
Okay.
And I think separately, and maybe one of the other Power Apps, I think the types of scenarios that you're interested in would also be helpful. I mean, we don't have to get into them now, but we do want to support a hybrid scenario as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And so in cases where that's not possible, we're interested in learning.
I think you just said that the key word hybrid. I think we can't just run everything on perfect cloud, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Right? I mean.
Yeah. So hybrid scenarios will be supported.
Yeah.
So I guess this is kind of a continuing on some of the other questions. So today we have the gateway for accessing SQL and a couple of other things. Can we do custom connections through that gateway?
Yep.
Yeah, so I think there's a blog that went out 6 months ago, maybe?
Yeah.
And so we can find a link for it, but really when you go to create your custom connector, right under the host or right above the host, that's where you indicate that it should use that gateway, and it uses the same gateway.
Yeah.
The same technology, you just have to set it up for your specific connector.
So as long as your API that is on premises is RESTful, just check that checkbox, and then when you create the connection, it'll ask for a gateway. That's it.
Excellent, thanks.
Yeah.
So I think my question is related to his, but I have a set of RESTful services, and those use Windows authentication.
Okay.
Does that mean that I'm going to have to like synchronize my on-prem Active Directory to Azure AD to store that connection or something like that? Or?
No, you won't. So the way that works is you will expose your API, again, through the custom connectors UI. Mm-hmm. When you check that checkbox that says on-premise,
gateway.
The selections in the security panel will change to Windows Auth, Basic Auth, and
OAuth. Okay, that's the part I missed.
Yeah, and that's what we didn't show an on-prem one, but yeah, because that's a capability. Of course, Windows doesn't make sense.
So now, because you do not recommend sharing the credentials, of course.
Correct.
For security reasons. Does that mean that I'm going to have a generic credential?
So one of the important pieces, again, is you're just creating the connector. Connection is created by end users.
Yeah.
Credentials go in connections. So you have one connector and connections. Connections can be owned by each individual user, and they have full access over it. Connectors, on the other side, there are two levels of permission. One is the owner permission, the other is the user permission.
Mm-hmm.
In your scenario, you would be the owner, and you would share the connector with everyone with user permissions. So they would see that connector just like every other public connector we have out there, right?
Okay.
When we say there are 200 public connectors out of the box, they don't come with credentials. The users provide the credentials in the connection.
Okay.
As the connector author, you say that you should use it with Windows. Like, you're saying what type of credential they should use,
mm-hmm.
but actually when they go to use it, that's when they
so
actually provide the
how do I, maybe it's not clear in my mind, but how do I marry then the credentials used by the connector if I want to use OAuth on this side versus the Windows authentication part? Or is
Can we take that offline?
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
We can,
all right, thank you.
Get in the weeds.
Similar to some of the other questions, you guys did a demo with Azure Active Directory.
Right.
If we're federated into Azure Active Directory with our on-prem, will that work as well?
I would not know exactly how. If you're in Azure Active Directory, it depends on your admin like privileges and how the tenant is set up. There's not a straight shot answer, unfortunately, because Active Directory is very, very
complex.
But if you don't mind coming and talking to me after,
it'll be about how you have to register your. The connector just is one other way that it interacts with your definition.
Go ahead.
That's weird. The speaker's like right there. What would be the preferred scenario if you have a kind of a double hop initial hit? We use Jira on premises that's exposed to the outside, so I can absolutely hit it,
mm-hmm.
but it's not their cloud offering, so the standard connectors don't necessarily work.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing you have to do with Jira is you have to
exchange.
It's not even like an exchange, it's you call the project that you want to work with, and that kind of behind the scenes sort of message or structures your session
mm-hmm.
with Jira so that your next call is actually related to the project you initially hit.
Do you get something back though? You get back a token or you get
It returns a JSON object of the structure. So it basically
and
says.
And you want to reuse that.
So basically, like if you say, I want to use project X, then it says, all right, well, the available issue types for project X are this is that.
Yeah. That was one of the advanced concepts that we didn't demo as well, because again, it's very specific more to Flow than Power Apps. But you want to look at something called dynamic values and dynamic schema. And that actually allows you within one operation to populate to get additional information from multiple calls.
Right.
So that's one way. Another way, again, if they're not actually related, you can actually chain actions together within a flow. You can do it within one, if it has multiple.
A common example is like if you have used SharePoint within Flow, let's say you want to create an item in a SharePoint site or list. You first select the SharePoint site name, then you select the SharePoint list name, and then suddenly all the properties
fields
that need to be populated get populated. All of that is generically available to all custom connectors. We can discuss, how that can be done, but. It is possible.
It's a feature, And then just depending on, it's totally possible,
correct.
And then you can take a look for sure. I think with that, the thing's beeping at us, so we probably have to go. Thank you so much, everyone, and I hope you have a great rest of Build.
Thank you.
Thanks.